Let us share a thought on the parsha. Yaakov gives brachos to his sons, beginning with Reuven, Bechori Ata, Kochi Bereshis Oni, Yeser Se'es V'Yeser Az. Reuven, you're my firstborn. Yeser Se'es, you should have been entitled to kuhuna, to priesthood, Lashon Nesias Kapayim, says Rashi. V'Yeser Az, you should have been entitled to Malchus, kingship. Because of your distinction as firstborn, you really should have been superior to your brothers in both of those ways. Kahuna and Malchus were to have been yours and yours only. But what happened, says Yaakov Avinu, Pachaz Kamaim Altosar Kielisa Mishka Ve'Avicha, but you were hasty, you were rushed, like flowing water. Altosar, you therefore will not receive those extras over your brothers of Kahuna and Malchus, Kielisa Mishka Ve'Avicha, because you ascended the bed of your father. You moved my bed, says Yaakov, from Bilhah's tent to your mother Leah's tent. Az chilalta yitzuri Allah, you desecrated the Shechina on my bed, and therefore you lost it. The Malchus, the Kahuna, was going to be yours, you lost it. Who instead gets the Malchus? Yehuda. Yehuda, tayaducha, achecha. Miteref bani Elisa, you acquitted yourself from the suspicion of having been involved in what Yaakov thought was Yosef's death. You will become the melech. Layoser, shevet mi Yehuda. Never will the scepter leave Yehuda. You are the one deserving of Malchus. So Soloveitchik Zatzal once asked, how does this make sense? What did Reuven do? He moved his father's bed. Okay. At the same time, we know that he did tshuva for moving his father's bed. Rashi tells us in Parshas Vayeshev that when the brothers sold Yosef, Reuven was not there. It says, after the Mechira, Vayoshav Reuven el Habor v'hine ein Yosef babor v'yikras begodav. Reuven comes back to the pit, and Yosef is missing, and he tears his clothing. Hayelad enenu, vani on aniba. Where did he go? What happened to the boy? Where was he? Zokt Rashi. He was osuk besako ubetaaniso. He wasn't with the brothers when they sold Yosef and schlepped him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelim. He was away somewhere with his sackcloth and fasting, doing tshuva, says Rashi, for the chait of moving his father's bed. So, yes, he did commit that one chait, but he did tshuva for it. And I would add that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, in Shabbos, Daf Nehemiah Beis, that Kol Omer Reuven Chata Eino El Toa. If you think Reuven sinned by what he did, you're making a mistake. So, take it onto perspective. What did Reuven do wrong after all? And he did tshuva for it on top of that. And if anything, when the brothers initially had suggested, Hine Balach Halomos, the dreamer, referring to Yosef, is coming. And they said, L'chuven argeu, let's go kill him, they suggested initially. And who saved Yosef's life? Vayishma Reuven. Reuven hears what they're plotting. Vayatzileu miyadam, he saves Yosef. And he says, Lo nakenu nafesh, we're not going to kill him. Reuven was the one who suggested, put him in the pit, thinking, says the pasuk, L'ma'an, Hashivol Aviv, in order to return him safely to his father. So not only did Reuven commit what would seem to be a minor infraction, not only did he do tshuva for it for a very long time thereafter, but he even saved Yosef's life when his brothers plotted to kill him. So for this, you cost him, you take the Malchus. On the other hand, Yehuda, who gets Malchus, what did he do? He was the one who suggested killing Yosef, selling Yosef. He was the one who said, Ma betza kinaro gesachinu, what are we going to gain by killing our brother? L'chuvenim krenel Ishmaelim, let's go sell him to the Ishmaelim. And the Gemara Sanhedrin says, what will we gain by killing him? Let's sell him. The Gemara Sanhedrin of Vav and Beis, the Gemara Sanhedrin of Vav says, Kol mevarech es Yehuda, einu ela menoitz. If you compliment Yehuda for what he did, you're angering God. What kind of compassionate brotherly love is this? Oh, what are we going to gain? How are we going to profit by killing him? Let's sell him instead, make a few bucks. That's a good thing. That was Yehuda's doing. And Yehuda, I mean, with regard to Tamar, he wasn't beyond criticism. So Soloveitchik asks, what is going on here? You take the Malchus from Reuven, you penalize him for doing what Chazal ultimately don't view so severely, for doing tshuva, for that which he did tshuva for a very long time thereafter, and you give Malchus to Yehuda, who wasn't always above board, above criticism with regard to Tamar, and besides, he was the one who said, let's sell Yosef, whereas Reuven tried to save Yosef. So how does this sound fair? What is going on? That is Soloveitchik Zatzal's question. So his answer is very simple, the following, and I think it's also a theme that is echoed by Elia Lapian Zatzal. His answer is, it wasn't so much the act that Reuven committed that made him deserving of such a harsh penalty of losing the Malchus, but it was the personality, it was the midos that were reflected in those actions. It was the pachas kamayim, it was the impulsiveness, the rush to act. If Soloveitchik says, a melech can't be rash, he must be deliberate, he can't be impulsive, he must be calculated. You can't be a melech if you're going to act in such a manner. The personality trait is what Yaakov was most concerned by. And this is what Elia Lapian also spells out. He says, look at the pasuk. It doesn't say that you're going to lose the Malchus because you moved my bed. What does it say? It says, pachas kamayim, the impulsiveness, the hastiness, like water. Therefore, al tosar, therefore you will not have the Malchus and the Kahuna. And this was reflected in Kielisa Mishkave Avicha, because you moved my bed. That action of Elisa Mishkave Avicha is merely one manifestation or consequence of the underlying midah of pachas that caused it. But what is Reuven being penalized for? It's because of the midah deficiency that is not acceptable for a melech. And yes, he did tshuva. But if Elia Lapian quotes from Chafetz Chaim, beautiful mashal, tshuva will remove the dirt stain from your shirt. It's like the washing machine that cleanses the stain. But the washing machine doesn't sew on the buttons that were torn off. In other words, a chait is a stain which you'll get punished for. Tshuva is the washing machine that cleanses that stain. It atones for you so that you don't need to have punishment to atone for that sin you committed. But it's not going to rectify and repair the underlying midah that caused that chait in the first place. It's not going to make you a better person. That has to come only as a result of intense avoda on oneself to be misakin in one's midos. And what Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Elia Lapian are both saying is that the reason Reuven was penalized is not for that which he did, but it's for the midah of pachas that led to him doing what he did. Furthermore, Rav Soloveitchik suggests, yes, Reuven did tshuva, but when there's a moment of crisis, our leader must be there to act and to lead. When the brothers were deliberating what to do with Yosef, and they ultimately decided to sell him, where was Reuven? Reuven, had he been the leader he should have been there to say, no, we're not selling him either. The same way we didn't kill him, we're not going to sell him. But where was Reuven? He was missing in action. He was granted doing tshuva, but when there's crisis, you need to be there to lead the way. That's not the best time to retreat and to be missing in action. Now, it could very well be, and this is what Soloveitchik suggests in Parshas Vayeshev, an interesting thought, that Reuven mitzido Dafka at that moment decided to do tshuva for the chet of moving his father's bed because he thought that it was his misconduct in moving his father's bed that undermined the respect the brothers had for Yaakov's authority. If Reuven could challenge and question and in effect overturn Yaakov's decision as to where to place his own bed, then the brothers lost their respect for their father's authority too, and that was reflected in their lack of sensitivity for Yaakov's feelings when choosing to sell Yosef. And perhaps, if Soloveitchik says, Reuven only then realized the extent of the terrible consequences of his action, seeing how this led to a complete disregard for Yaakov's feelings and emotions in the brothers' decision to sell Yosef. Maybe that's why Reuven was dafka doing tshuva then. Very fascinating, Svara, to really be sensitive to the long-term ramifications of your deeds, of your conduct, of your misconduct. But even so, if Soloveitchik says, when a leader needs to be there, b'shas crisis, this is not the time to retreat and tend to other matters. You know, as an aside, Lahavdil, if you guys enjoy reading Malcolm Gladwell's books, so one of perhaps his most recent books, if not the most recent one, I'm not really sure, is a book called Talking to Strangers. And in one of his chapters, he describes in detail how during the Cold War, Cuba had completely outfoxed American intelligence. They had so many double agents working for them who the Americans thought were American agents that it's, in retrospect, somewhat disturbing, shocking that the American intelligence, often thought of as being so capable and so well-financed and so powerful, was so completely outmaneuvered by little Cuba, Fidel Castro, and his intelligence agencies. And one example that he cites was a intelligence analyst working for the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, who was their expert on Cuba. And she was born and raised in the States, in Maryland, in Baltimore. And she was their Cuban expert. Anna Montez was her name. She was their Cuban expert. And when there was a crisis, a serious crisis in the mid-1990s, there were some civilian American pilots who were flying from Florida towards Cuba to drop off some propaganda leaflets on the Cuban coast. And the Cuban Air Force shot them down and killed them both in international airspace. Major crisis erupted. And this defense analyst, Anna Montez, who was their top Cuban expert, rushed to the Pentagon. And in the middle of the crisis, while they're all in Pentagon consulting and deliberating, she says, I got to leave. She gets a phone call and she has to leave. And there was a counterintelligence agent who was somewhat suspicious. When you're a leader and there's a crisis, you don't suddenly pack out and go home. Yeah, it was a long day. You were there since the morning and it's now 8 o'clock at night. That's very nice. But when there's a crisis and you're a leader and people are looking to you for expert guidance and advice, you don't just pack out. And this counterintelligence agent at the CIA became very suspicious. And ultimately, 5 years later, his suspicions were proven to be dead on as she was found to be a double agent working for Cuba throughout, sentenced to life imprisonment. Mushal being, when you're a leader and there's a crisis, you don't just back out and retreat somewhere. You got to be there. Whatever the reasons for backing out happen to be. So, again, Lahavdil, Soloveitchik Zatzal says, Yaakov's looking at Reuven. And he's criticizing Reuven. You might have been going to do tshuva, but there's a crisis here. Where were you? This is not Malchus. This is not Malchus. Mitzad Sheni, Yehuda, yes, perhaps he was deserving of criticism because he was the one who suggested selling Yosef. And his brothers, in fact, demoted him, so to speak, because of it. In Parshas Vayeshev, says Rashi. And yes, perhaps he was not beyond criticism when he sinned with Tamar. But Lemaisa, when push came to shove and there was crisis, who stepped forward putting his life on his line? When Binyamin was about to be imprisoned by Yosef and Mitzrayim, it was Yehuda. Vayigashe lav Yehuda. He was the one brother who stepped forward to take the bull by the horns. And yes, as we said perhaps last week, Zalman Sarotsky and Zalman Latorah, he was one who was Makabal Achrayas Anochi Arvenu, he accepted responsibility for you, Binyamin's safe return to Yaakov. But Hagufa, that's also a sign of Malchus, taking responsibility, being there in time of crisis, taking a leadership role, acting out of concern for others, that's Malchus. So yes, maybe there were some shortcomings and deficiencies in what he had done in the past, but ultimately the quality of Malchus was there. And therefore Yehuda was given the gift of Malchus. But the Yesod Gadol here for us to learn from is that what's critical and most important is not the act per se, because that you can do tshuva for, that you can get by, you can overcome, you can repent, you can atone for. But it's the midos that manifest themselves in how I act. That's what I ultimately have to truly work upon. That's what Yaakov was most concerned by. The pachas kamayim al tosar. It was that impulsiveness that you've got to work on in Reuven. That's what I'm most worried about. That's what's not befitting you as a potential melech. Pachas kamayim al tosar. Famous words of the Bi'ur HaGra. To Mishle, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ki ma sheha adam chai, hu kdei lishbor hamida shelo shavar ad heina. The purpose of man's life in this world is essentially tikkun hamidos, to break that midah you have not yet broken, to improve upon those midos that require improvement. And therefore life is one long ongoing challenge of strengthening oneself with regard to tikkun hamidos. And if we're going to neglect that, then what's the purpose of my life? That's what I'm here for. And so the Musar is very clear. Our goal is tikkun hamidos, which is the underlying cause, ultimately, of what we do and how we act. And never to forget that throughout our lives, it's an ongoing process of lishbar hamida shlo shavar heina, to perfect ourselves, to attain shlemus, not just in how I act, but even more so in the midos that determine, ultimately, how I act.